88.3 Southern FM.
On air and online via the free Community Radio Plus app. Download it now from the App Store or Google Play.
This is Planet Earth. You're looking at Planet Earth. Bop, 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 bop. This is Planet Earth.
Welcome to episode 43 of our Planet Earth series, in which we look at our home planet. In episode 42, we discuss the Cygnus constellation of small satellites that were originally launched to study tropical cyclones. Now, scientists are now discovering new uses for these six satellites. One of them is to prepare water maps over the land area. Remember, Cygnus was designed to work over the oceans. Well, these water maps are now being used to estimate the amount of methane emitted by wetlands. Wetlands are the largest natural source of potent greenhouse gases. Now, you surely have heard of marsh gas. Recently, researchers found that the annual methane emissions from the sud wetlands of South Sudan are actually greater than previously estimated, thanks to the new Cygnus inundation maps. The frequent measurement of winds in and near tropical cyclones has been shown to improve the ability to model inner core structure and forecast intensities. Cygnus completed its initial 24-month phase of science operations in 2019 and is now in its extended mission phase. NASA will support continued operation at least until next year. In a recent development, the Cygnus scientists have teamed up with the New Zealand Space Agency, the University of Auckland, and Air New Zealand. Radar receivers have been installed on Air New Zealand aeroplanes to acquire airborne measurements for synergistic use with the Cygnus observations. The effort is referred to as Rongowai, which is Maori for sensing the water. These new airborne data will allow investigating the effects of landscape heterogeneity and the potential benefits of higher resolution observations. And now we have a feature from the European Space Agency.
On November the 2nd, 2009, SMOS was launched from the Plesetsk Cosmodrome on top of a rocket launcher. SMOS is one of ESA's Earth Explorer missions that address key scientific challenges and demonstrate new technology in space. Carrying a novel instrument to return information on soil moisture and ocean salinity, both key components of the Earth's water cycle, SMOS is advancing our knowledge of how water is cycled between the Earth's surface and the atmosphere. Understanding these exchange processes is crucial for understanding climate change, for improving weather prediction, and, for example, helping to optimise water consumption when growing crops.
SMOS measures directly the surface soil moisture. So this is really the kind of rain gauge of the atmosphere. So we collect the rain and we store it. Measuring surface soil moisture gives us a hint on the rainfall, so we can partition the rainfall. But also looking at its evolution, we can link it to different other things. One of them is, of course, dryness or wetness of the soil, so floods or droughts. But also the fact that the impact of other events, such as El Niño or La Niña, and its impact on the rainfall distribution, hence the wetness. So it is used to infer or droughts or monitor the droughts, but also, of course, for food security in many regions, to anticipate crop yield, especially in areas which are limited by rainfall.
This research satellite was originally planned to be in orbit for 5 years, but thanks to Europe's technological excellence, it has already doubled its life in orbit, providing time series data for a variety of applications. For instance, SMOS data is used for ESA's climate change initiative, through which data are compiled to understand how climate variables are changing over time. Its data are also combined with data from other satellites, such as Cryosat, to map the thickness of sea ice, a crucial climate variable.
With SMOS, we have the possibility to measure the sea ice thickness. In particular, the thickness of thin ice we can measure with SMOS. We have also the companion, the ESA Earth Explorer Cryosat. This was specifically designed to measure the sea ice thickness, and Cryosat is great to measure the thickness of thick ice from the freeboard. But with SMOS, we can accurately measure the thin ice.
SMOS data are also used to map the freezing and thawing of soil. This is important because frozen soil, and in particular permafrost, acts as a carbon source. When permafrost thaws, carbon is released back into the atmosphere, amplifying the greenhouse effect. By comparing data over several years, SMOS helps us to better understand variables affected by and affecting climate change. Over the years, SMOS has proven to be a versatile satellite, going way beyond its original scientific goals. Today, SMOS data are even used operationally for weather prediction by organisations such as the European Centre for Medium-Range Weather Forecasts.
SMOS is very important for weather prediction because weather is related to forecast of the atmospheric variables, but it's also related to land surface forecast and ocean forecast, river forecast. And for this, for weather prediction, our strategy is to develop an Earth system approach where we have a consistent forecast for the different components of the Earth system. And in this context, variables which are at the interface between land surface and atmosphere, or ocean and atmosphere, are very important to ensure the consistency across the different Earth system components. And SMOS is exactly that. It is providing information at the interface between the different Earth system components.
Over the course of a decade, SMOS has given the scientific community an unprecedented wealth of data. And while it has long surpassed its intended lifespan, SMOS remains hard at work while new missions are being studied and prepared to ensure continuous data sets with even higher resolutions and improved technology.
Samantha Cristoforetti is of Italian nationality. She's a European Space Agency astronaut. On May the 25th, she spoke to the World Economic Forum from the International Space Station about observing the Earth from space.
Yeah, I think that global big challenges like obviously climate change and inequality are best faced when societies have at their disposals powerful tools, and those tools are knowledge, technologies, and general, strong economies. And so I think that there's two ways of answering your questions. I mean, of course, I could go off and tell you about all the space-based assets that monitor the Earth on a daily basis. And some appear, some of those are free-flying satellites, but some of those are here installed on the external platforms of the International Space Station because they benefit from the fact that they have this platform and all the power that is available and, you know, the data transfer. And that it was possible to install them here. So I could go off and tell you that, but I think that one should also have a more holistic perspective and understand that space is really part of our lives, of our technological development, of our scientific advancements, ultimately of our economic resources and the technological and scientific resources that we overall have at our disposal to tackle challenges, especially like climate change. So as we develop space capabilities and the space economy, that becomes a multiplier of all the technological tools that we have at our disposals to tackle climate change and, you know, all the great challenges that face humanity.
That was Samantha Cristoforetti, the European Space Agency astronaut who's circling the Earth every 90 minutes or thereabouts. Now, to finish out our space show, we're going to have a song called Escape to Mars. It's by Gift of Gab, and it's about environmental damage on Earth. Here's Gift of Gab.
Phenomenal, abominable, rhyme, rally, time, and always automatic. Python, cloud, surrounded together, all the planet. Night comes down, and all about is a lot of panic. Gratification, quick fix, mind, manic, in the wagon, antagonizing the wind. All matter ends, the earth will stand through the aftermath. Metal bring forth many avalanche storms in the canyons. Once filled with snow, wither only the tarantulas and insects survive. Replacing all humanity, we cramming all the damage in the ozone habitat and traveling into a savage. And I hope the tabernacle songs bring up on awakening of the napping. Gonna be a long, long summer, baking up a back of that man, one time. Soup plant life cabbage that is guided by the powers of the dying of the flowers. Come on.
Agricultural yields would decline. 20 to 50% of animal and plant species would face extinction.
2012 party over. Oops, out of sight. Time, mind, Illuminati, deaf, trap, blind, deaf and dumb, crazy vent. 80% wiped out, sniped out. Burn, baby, burn. Get hit when we could have been turning the cell phones off. Rip through your city, the Bentleys excel. Most small fish than the fishes you catch. They smell so toxic from the rivers ingesting death. Slow now, winter humidity. Summers are left cold. Y'all kids gonna feel it. It's no effect on y'all. Since you directly don't experience no cause and effect, drift inflicting the ozone wall gradually. It's all in our hands happening. Global warming on the rise. Sad to see if we don't make a change now, then the path that we choose is our own till we save our planet. Renovate all traffic, innovate more atmospheric race. All damage done away with. Maybe some escape to another planet. Face mutated in a spaceship, traveling in stasis, examining the ways of men and how we take advantage of the place we inhabited and chase more lavish shit. Racism, hatred. We ain't got past it, but we may all be prey to the wrath of Mother Nature.